Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
We felt it necessary, and we want to continue to just kind of share with you what's happening in children's ministry. And this is where it becomes critical, because you are a critical component of their development. There's an old adage that says you can tell the value of a culture, what it truly believes, what it really is about, by how it passes on its legacy to the next generation. What you consider really, truly valuable, worthy, what you truly believe is important in life, is what you're going to pass on to the next generation. To the extent that you want to share that with them and give them a step up is a reflection on what you truly believe. Now, the point here is that sometimes in churches and church life and as adults, we think that the children should be seen and not heard. Jesus came along and said, that's crazy. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Let the little children come, for to those belong the kingdom of God. So this is what your homework is as Christians of this church. And I would make it essential to your membership of this church that you reach out to those kids in any fashion. Look at the board. You know, look at what they're doing. When they come down and they're offering, they come and they serve as ushers, or they're ringing the bell, or they're handing up whatever it is. Affirm them as part of the community. That's what we do. We come together as adults and we worship, but we recognize that our ministry is to them as well. And so this morning, as you see all that's happening, it's a way of passing on our legacy. And so this morning, we're continuing. I have just a little bit of time, but I want to highlight a couple of important things that you've probably seen here or played out here this morning that's critical to your understanding of what we do here, or why children's ministry is so critical to what we do. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about putting first things first. How, as we enter a busy time of our life, how do we make sure that with all of our to-do lists and all of the things that we're about, how do we make sure we're focusing on the essential things, the important things? Last week we said, if you really want to begin, don't begin with yourself, with your wants and with your needs. Begin with where God has put you, what God is doing in your life. Begin with that story, and everything else will take care of itself. Seek first the kingdom, and everything else will fall into place. The second thing that makes children's ministry so vital is, what is your legacy? What is your story? What is it that you want to share? And how are you doing it? And so when we come together and we're talking about children's ministry, and we have all of these people that are dedicating their time to teaching and doing all of these activities, it's so that we're able to pass on our legacy, what God has given to us, to that next generation. This is what we value. This is what will give them a step up in life. Not, maybe it won't put a lot in the bank, but it'll give them more meaning and more purpose with what they do have. It will center them on what's important. They'll have better relationships. Maybe in their marriage with their coworkers, they'll understand how to not just get through life, but to draw meaning out of it. And so this morning we're going to focus on Ephesians chapter 6, and Abby has agreed to come along and partner with us, and she's going to come and read that for us. It's from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with the 10th verse.
Against the powers, against the
Thank you. You read that quite well, by the way. I wonder how many of you noticed that you got a different bulletin. Did you know? That was a little creativity this week. We sat down, and we sat down with Kiana and said, you know, in your normal bulletin, you would have an order of service. And I said, I hate to kind of say this, but you guys are a very creative bunch. How many times when we come to worship do you got to get thrown into a tizzy because you don't know the order of service? Right? I don't know what song we're singing. Where are we? I'm lost. And so he said, we can use that space more effectively. And so what we really do is on the inside, we put the sermon notes and we're going to put a little blurb that's going to help you through the weekend. And what our goal is what we want you to do is, if you will, as part of your discipleship, take this home, fill it out, pop it in your Bible somewhere, and pull it out in the course of the week and just refresh your memory on where we're going as a church. You have all of the announcements, and so you're going to see this thing a little bit differently, and we hope that it will be more of a blessing to you. We've really talked about children's ministry in terms of taming that dragon. We began with that metaphor about children as they grow out of, basically as they begin to leave parental control a little bit, as they begin to enter those teen years where they're listening to other voices. But during this time, we have to prepare them to take on those challenges. And so we use this metaphor of going through basically a knight's quest. You know, you can imagine a knight beginning as maybe a squire, and he begins to develop. You don't just jump in as a knight. You have to go through a process of preparation. So we use this image and this metaphor. And during the week, I was thinking about the dragons that you already know exist. You probably don't call them that, but you know that they exist, because they're whispering into the ears of your children and your grandchildren. And what are those things that maybe a dragon would say? A dragon would not just be fearful. You know, we talk about the devil is not really walking around in a red suit with horns and a tail that is easily recognized. It's the subtleties that the dragon speaks to all of us. And maybe you hear it even in your own life. And I want you to see if any of these sound familiar to you. The first one that a dragon might say to a child is that you're nothing special. You're nothing special. Nobody really likes you. As they grow up and as they're beginning to find their voice, I mean, think about all of the things that our kids face. And eventually they begin to say, I'm afraid to try because I'll look foolish. People will make fun of me. Why not just give up? Now think about, we talk a lot in church and we talk a lot about the domination that sports is beginning to take over in our culture and our society. Why? Because we're trying to fulfill those needs. Those voices are whispering to us and we're trying to reach out in some way to answer that call. I am special. Look at all the trophies that I've won. I can compete in sports. People like me. Look at how they're cheering for me. And we kind of say, if you don't have that on the inside, this deep understanding on the inside of how special and how special you are, then life will always be a competitive match. You'll always be reaching. You'll never be happy. You'll never understand how truly special you are. And so we wanted to take on those voices, and we wanted to share that with the kids so that when they come here and they learn these things, they're beginning to be rewarded for who they are, not just because they can run faster or throw a ball or kick a ball, but because of what God has said about them already. Now, maybe your thinking this morning is, as people went through, you know, they learn a prayer, they learn how to pray with their hand, you know, the five. And by the way, how many of you wish you could memorize that and say that every day? They learn the New Testament, the books of the New Testament, by putting these cups together. They memorize the order of the New Testament. Or maybe they have a covenant that bonds them together as one. And maybe you're sitting there going, but this is just kind of repetition. It's rote memory. And yet, as we were thinking about it this week, one of the tragedies when we do a Bible study as adults, and we gather for disciple Bible study, and we say, hey, we'd love you to join us for a Bible study. It's a really great Bible study. You'll enjoy it. And you'll have people that will approach you, and they'll hold their Bible, and it's like, I don't really know how to use this thing. It's kind of intimidating. I don't even know where to find the books anymore, right? Because they haven't used it. When we go through these repetitions, these moments, they're actually engaging in the text, maybe kind of superficially, memorizing the books, but it's not a fearful thing anymore. I was talking to Lynette the other day, and when we got married many years ago, we got a very big Bible. Have you ever gotten one of those? It's like about this thick, and it's about this big, right? It is a really big paperweight. I mean, we don't really sit in bed looking at this big book. And yet many people have this image that that's the Bible. It's this huge monument that we set on a coffee table, we dust every once in a while, and it's kind of something that is sacred, and we never really approach it. What we're trying to do with the kids is say, it is not fearful. You can know the books of the Bible. It can become your own. You know where to begin. You can jump in and you can learn these things. It's not out of the realm of possibility. One of the things that has happened with all of us is when we were kids, nobody took that time. And so we're afraid of the text. And so it's this big, hairy looking book. And the only way for it to get down to size is for us to exercise it. You know? For us to begin the process of opening it up and looking through it and making it our own. And that's what we're trying to do with the kids. The other thing that we're trying to do is allow them to know that they are special, that they can contribute. And so what you find during a Sunday morning that we're starting to do is they're starting to get engaged in the way the service unfolds. We have kids that will come and they'll play the piano for us. We'll have kids that will participate in taking up the offering, and they'll bring down the offering for us. We'll have some of the little ones. We'll go out, and they'll love to ring the bell. They'll make sure. And as a matter of fact, there's been several times that Fred has had a little line that's forming because they want to ring that bell for the church. They want to serve in some capacity. Or they'll come to Fred or Marilyn, and they'll say, let me pass out bulletins because I have to serve my church. If I had a whole community that was doing that, that was coming and saying, how can I serve my church? How could I become like they are? Think about how transformational the church would be. What is it that we're trying to teach the kids? What is it that we want when they kind of finally leave children's ministry that we want them to have? In this passage by Ephesians, Paul is really, I've got to pick it up here. The first thing that we want to know, and it's all, by the way, it's in your bulletin, it's in the little thing, this is what we're about, focus on that, and please, we put it in there, read it, think about it, digest it, this is who we are. The first thing that we want to do is allow them to have faith, to be able to say, I can trust God, God has a plan for my life. I can do all things. Wouldn't it be wonderful that by the time your kids enter adolescence, where kids are talking about how they look on the outside, what clothes they wear, the temptations that are going to come down the pike, if they haven't already addressed it, that they'll be able to say, I can do all things through Christ. It isn't whether I make the team or not. It doesn't matter how far I can throw the ball or not. I can trust God because I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. How do we do that? Through confidence and through experience. They have to try. They have to experiment. They have to stretch themselves in this community, and they have to feel affirmed by the community. They have to know that this is a place that I can find unconditional acceptance. Number two is wisdom. I need to make wise choices. In the children's ministry, I don't know that Kiana talked about that a lot, but there is a character focus. What is God calling us to be? What is our commitment? What does it mean to be kind and gentle? How do we live that out? How do you do that in your home and in your family? I need to make wise choices and discover God's plan for my life. It isn't what everybody else says. It isn't trying to compete with everybody else or trying to rise to the top. It's trying to figure out that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. In the beginning of Proverbs, it says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." What that means is the respect for God, having respect and honor for something higher, self-respect, beginning to believe that you can and you are worthy, that you have something special inside. That's the sword. It comes from commitment to something and to learning. When we gather in children's ministry, we do want to do repetition so that they ingrain it, that they've learned it, that they can do something, especially with the littlest ones, that they're able to accomplish. And then we reward it so that they're able to achieve, that we celebrate who they are with children's ministry. And then we gather as a community and show our respect for what they do. We applaud what they've accomplished. We put it up on the wall. We allow them to play and to sing and to do and to share their gifts with all of us. It's the beginning of wisdom, of knowing that God has a plan for them. And finally, we want to establish some relationships. Relationships are key. How do we work together? How do we share? How do we become more of a family, more of a community? And so what children's ministry does every Sunday, they're sending out cards to the kids of saying, "Hey, we missed you. If you're not here, we'd love to have you when you're here. We're sorry that you missed, but you're part, an integral part of what we do and who we are." So important to who we are and what we become. Now, that's just a little snippet of what's going on with children's ministry, because we can't lose that generation. Because if we lose that generation, it's like sawing off the limb that we're sitting on. They are what's coming up behind it. And it says something then about who we are, about our faith journey. If we don't pour ourselves into that generation to give them the values, I hear so often from people that say, "Well, you know, in my day, we did it differently. Our values were like this. What's happening?" Well, we need to pour that into them and saying, we have the values of honesty and integrity, of wisdom and of generosity, and that reflects who we are into their lives. Now, this morning, it's cold and snowy, but you guys came out because this is important to you. We want to share that with them. Give them something that says this is of value. And so I'm just entrusting their care to all of you. Not just to Kiana and to her team, but all of you. Be involved in their lives. Know what they're going through. Celebrate them. Call them by name. Let them be part of your church family. Because the challenges that they face in the next 10 years are beyond my capacity to even grasp. It's going to be phenomenal. We need to protect them now. Because if we don't, then we've just birthed children for the dragon to devour. And we will be held accountable. Let us pray. Father God, protect us. Father, empower us and strengthen us that we can do all these things for your glory, that we can protect the children, we can lift them up, and we can celebrate their place in our midst as we continue to love them and care for them as you have loved and cared for us. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.